4 p.m. and we back on the clock, so don't get cutesy. Dow lead the station a lot. We got the sports talk and the drama to make sure the tea clock. WQAM is the Avengers with no weak spot. From Joe Rose, Woody Bo, Omar and more, Tobin and Leroy giving gooses galore. Yeah, for 2 to 6 is reserved for 3 legends, the captains of America, not no Chris Evans. From Spritz to McRibs and calling out game scores. Hot man, crowd of Solana, get ready for some more.
I'm ready for more. We're not going to top that segment, but I'm ready for more.
That man's funny.
That man is funny. Somebody put on the chat, bro, Caliendo needs a segment at least once a week moving forward. It would be good for all of our mental health. Yeah.
He's busy.
Yeah. Someone put on there, Caliendo looked like he didn't want to be there, but he was professional about it. No, he wanted to be there. He texted me this morning asking if he could come on the show because I had talked to him over the weekend about getting me tickets to his show in Naples. And he's like, hey, let me come on the show and maybe more people want to go to Naples. So I guarantee you he wanted to be here and would have stayed longer had had we asked him.
Can you get me tickets?
I'm about to say, Hawk,
do you want to go to Naples?
Now? Yeah, I'll go.
I mean, listen, if you're going to Naples, happy to hook you up.
I'll go to Naples.
Not you, Jimmy.
I gotta drive across to go to IMG every now and again, so Naples is right there.
If you're going to Naples, let me know. Because
January 30th, the Heat don't play. Count me in, Hawk.
Now, that's the Friday. I'm going to the Saturday on the 31st.
Well, that's perfect. I don't want to go with you anyways.
Well, that was just amazing. Today on the show, it's a Heat ticket blitz. So we've got a pair of tickets for Heat and Celtics Thursday night at the Kaseya Center. Every hour, I'll give away another pair this hour. Joe Zagacki is going to join us this hour. I'll give you 15 minutes of Heat, which is brought to you by Doral Kia, home of the Pricito, our lowest price. Visit them at Doral Kia or DoralKia.com. So I was shocked earlier in the show when Crowder said the line for Bam tonight, the over-under, knowing that he's had some scoring problems, the line tonight is 14.5. I couldn't believe it. Double-checked it, and it's true.
I got it locked in.
That's a crazy points line for Bam Adebayo. I've never seen it that low before. It was usually 17.5. Sometimes when he was going through a slump, you'd see 16.5. 14.5 is crazy low.
And I was listening this morning to Hollywood and Omar and them, and then they played the Spo audio when he was like, no, we got to have this homestand and all. They can't go out there and score 96 points tonight. They got to go out there and throw up 120 something.
Yeah. Well, Bam has to. You want to guess what the over under is?
Solana, don't do that to me. My money's in.
You want to guess what the over under is tonight? Total points for the game? Heat and Phoenix.
I saw 230.
Yeah, 230.5.
I think the Heat are going to score. I don't think Phoenix is, you know, the type of defense that OKC is or that Minnesota is. But the question is Bam Adebayo going to ease out of this funk that he's
well,
in?
Well, you wonder, know? Is he the kind of guy that shrivels into the funk, or is he the kind of guy who bursts out of it?
And he has to burst out if he's the guy Solana's been telling him he was for a decade now.
You want to know what the line is tonight? Do you know?
I do not.
Heat hosting the Suns? You want to guess?
I think it was 1.5 either way. I forget which way.
Heat -1.
Bam better do something.
Devin Booker over under?
Oh, 22?
25.
25.5.
Yeah.
How about
what's Dylan Brooks? Is it 20?
Dylan Brooks is 19.5.
19.
Dylan Brooks is Heat culture.
No, he's not.
Nah.
Nah, he's a goofball.
I think he's almost the opposite of Heat culture.
I like him.
I think he wants to be a UD type, but he's not.
No, he doesn't even want to do that. Like, his game is Heat culture, where it's, I'm willing to do whatever
I'm talking
the team
about the
needs
antics.
Me. But it's not even his antics are just like, I'm going to stare at LeBron, you know, and I'm going to get underneath LeBron's skin, which is fine, but he does it in such a goofy way.
Lance Stephenson blowing in his ear, though, was funny. That was even though we were Team LeBron back then, that was funny. You have to admit, in hindsight, Lance Stephenson blowing in his ear was funny.
Yeah, no, I'm going to pick on the bully.
You know what was funny? Beating the Pacers every single year. Literally every year.
I like Dylan Brooks because pick on the bully. He likes to pick on the bully. I like it.
Wiggins tonight, you want to guess? Over under?
15.
14.5.
Mid-teens.
Tyler?
they're going to say 20.
Yeah, 21 and a half.
20 and a half. Norman Powell?
If he plays.
Yeah.
Oh, he's hurt.
Well, he's questionable.
Around 21 and a half.
I'd say because Tyler's at 20 and a half, Norm's at 18.
20 and a half as well.
Really?
Yeah.
I hope.
Triple J, 13 and a half. Davion Mitchell, 7 and a half.
Over.
Grayson Allen, 12 and a half.
Mitchell. I like Grayson Allen, too.
He's sweet, bro. He's been really good for them.
Let me see what they...
What's his number? 7.5?
No, I think it was like 12.5.
Averages closer to 15. So
oh, okay. We should trade for him. He's right up our alley, 15.5.
Let me see if there's any triple-double action on Bam tonight. Nope. Oh.
What? I would rather him, I guess, not try to get as many rebounds and score points.
Well, you no, want to see points. That is faulty, though.
It's not only faulty. Hold on a second. We have a system. We have a system. And you want Tyler and Norman Powell, who are your two best scorers,
right. mm-hmm.
to figure it out and score as many points as possible, and you just want your Bam over to hit.
No. More than six.
I want my star to be able to get in the 20s with ease.
But you're just constantly confused with why they paid Bam Adebayo. I'm not saying that 6 points is okay. I'm not justifying his play over the past month. Don't get it twisted. But you continue to look at Bam and say, why isn't he Hakeem Olajuwon? Why isn't he prime Shaq? They need to give him the ball, get out of the way, and he's got to go give me buckets. And he's not that player. So you continue to ask him to be that player, and he's going to continue to come up short every time because he's not that player.
Okay, and when you make him my one, when you make him the best player on my team, and he can't score 20 points a game, I don't like that, Solana.
That's
I don't
fine.
Want
That's
my
fine. That's
the
fine.
System we're running in. Hey, the PER, who has the best PER in NBA history? Nobody gives a damn. They talk about points, and they talk about damn championships. They don't talk about the best pick-and-roll player or the best guy that helps on the weak side.
Well, when Bam Adebayo met Jason Tatum at the rim to win a playoff game in the Eastern Conference Finals.
One of the best blocks you'll ever see.
I don't remember you taking up issue with Bam Adebayo being a monster on the defensive end when he literally won you a playoff game.
Yes.
Meeting one of the best scorers, to your point, in mm-hmm. the league. Guess what? He blocked him at the rim, and the Heat won that series.
And that is, we won one game.
Okay.
Right. He won one game. Solana, what are you talking about?
Bam Adebayo,
have to score more points than the other team to win the games.
Bam Adebayo.
I want my stars to put the biscuit in the basket.
That's fine. If you don't think Bam Adebayo
he can't do it.
Is good enough to be a
the one,
a,
no.
No, but I'm not telling you he's a
two?
A one.
No.
I think he's good enough to be a two, but he can't be your second best
Bam
scorer.
And
but
who?
It would but well have be an elite superstar it, for him to be the two.
Which is what they're trying to do.
No, I get it. But
by
I'm just
bringing
saying,
in Norman Powell?
I'm just saying to be the two, it has to be an elite superstar.
So 100%. SGA, and he could be the two with SGA.
That style, yes.
Yes.
I know.
If there's a reason why the Miami Heat don't want to trade Bam, it's because a lot of guys around the league want to play with Bam Adebayo.
Yeah, he'd make a great two. Yes. But for him to be a legit two, it has to be an elite player,
for
elite
sure.
scorer. By the way, just in other news, Barry Jackson tweets out, Rachel Nichols says Ja Morant would love a trade to the Heat. And Barry Jackson says, if it's for Rozier, Fontecchio, and a bottle of Fresca, it's worth the risk, as I've noted. For more than that, uh-uh.
I would love him to be here, but I wouldn't put the farm on it.
But we don't have the farm. Just go get him. We don't have the farm.
We don't. Yeah, but you can't.
I'm not saying give up three ones. I'm not even suggesting.
Right, but think about it.
It would
Desmond
add
Bain,
excitement.
Desmond Bane, just from that same organization, got 4 first-round picks.
Right.
If they're going to move on from Ja, which, by the way, I think everybody would be happy in that situation. Ja clearly wants out. And I think the Grizzlies are just done with the Ja Morant thing. Everybody would probably benefit. But if they're going to move on from him, they can't just take a bunch of expiring contracts and players who fit the contract. in order to make the trade work. Like, they would, they can't do that. They're probably not going to get four firsts because of the situation, but they can't just take on Terry Rozier's expiring, Simone's expiring, and Jaime Jaquez Jr. and Andrew Wiggins and two first-round picks. I mean, people would laugh at the Memphis Grizzlies. They're not going to do that.
Let's do headlines, because Joe Zagacki is going to join us this hour. I want to make sure we have time for him. So headlines brought to you by Durell Hyundai. You always pay less with your Pricito at Durell Hyundai. Visit them at Durell Hyundai or DurellHyundai.com.
What a difference a couple years make, because he really was looked upon as...
Oh, my God. He was going to be the next big star. Like, it... My son bought a Ja Morant jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Out of... like, he hadn't bought a jersey on his own in a while. He bought a Ja Morant jersey. That was the guy.
He was face Anthony of the Edwards. League. He yep. was, yeah.
Yep. Face
was
of the league yep. type conversations. There are only a select number of players who are given their own shoe line.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they signed with Nike. He has his own shoe with Nike. Think about the guys who are in that conversation. Aren't many.
Bron, Jordan, KD. I bought some of them expensive-ass shoes.
Jaws?
My daughter loves Ja Morant.
Yeah.
$360 or something.
Hopefully she hasn't read the news.
But he fell off too. Like, it just, I don't understand what happened to him. Like, he got caught up in something, and everyone said, what are you getting caught up in? Like, this isn't even you. I don't know. It was the whole thing is
odd. And the suspensions with the flashing of the gun. Like, if you look into it, it's bad, and you should be more responsible and all that. But that doesn't affect your game.
But it did.
And that's the weird part. So right. It's the mental toughness, or whatever you want to call it, the psychological side of the game, where he's getting suspended. Come back and play basketball like you've been playing basketball. And I know it's easier said than done when the world – you feel like the world has turned their back on you. Go score some damn points.
There is another layer to this, which is last year, Noah LaRoche, who is a consultant right now with the Miami Heat, was a part of the Memphis Grizzlies coaching staff. They were running the offense that the Heat were running. Everybody's crediting Eric Spoelstra. Not that he doesn't deserve credit, but they were doing this last year. And guess what? They fired their head coach because Ja Morant didn't like it. Now he's here. The guy who was, you know, credited as the architect of running this open space offense with no pick and rolls. Ja Morant wants pick and rolls because he's a pick and roll player. So if you do decide to trade for Ja Morant, you are literally saying we are abandoning the system,
right,
which has made us the quote-unquote attractive, fun team this year, even though that's fallen off, to go run pick and rolls again with Ja Morant, which, by the way, you want more points for Bam Adebayo? Maybe that's the way to do it. Put him back in the situation that he felt most comfortable in, which is dribble handoffs and pick and rolls.
And keep this garbage-ass offense.
The Florida Panthers won yesterday. They beat my Sabres 4-3.
Tough night for you.
The Cats don't play again until Friday. Sergei Bobrovsky, second straight win with 20 saves.
All right.
Norman Powell's questionable, as we mentioned, for tonight's game. 7:30, the Heat play. The Suns tonight, who are a good West Coast team. The Celtics, who are the 2 seed in the East on Thursday. And then they play Oklahoma City again on Saturday at home. And that's the stretch before 5 straight West Coast games.
On the West.
It could get ugly if they don't turn things around.
Which is why, like, tonight's game, they kind of need this one. They really needed to win against Indiana a couple nights ago. They need to stash a few dubs, and they've been few and far between.
The big breaking news right at the top of the show, Mike Tomlin stepped down after 19 seasons. The key word there for everybody who's just tuning in and is seeing, oh, Mike Tomlin's available. He stepped down, which means with a year left on his contract in Pittsburgh, he was not fired, which means the Steelers retain his rights. So if you want to have Mike Tomlin as your head coach next year, you likely have to make a move for Mike Tomlin.
Trade Tua.
Oh, you need somebody to agree to it.
Tua and Alec Ingold. Who says no?
You can't just fly him up there and have him walk up to the building.
We traded him for you. Huh?
Mr. Rooney, we're here for Mike.
I'm here. This place is dope.
This place is dope, brother.
Adam Schefter said Mike Tomlin won't coach in 2026.
I don't think so. I think he gets away. I think he coaches again. We talked about that. I don't think he just hangs it up, but I think he takes a year off.
I don't think that'd surprise anybody. Would you guys be willing to trade for Tomlin if it meant keeping Tua one more year? I'm not advocating for it. I'm just saying if the Dolphins want Mike Tomlin.
Hey, man, if he can win with Mason Rudolph and Aaron Rodgers, I would imagine Tua is the best quarterback he's would have coached in the last 5 years. So
I see it the other way. We want to keep Tua to get Tomlin? I would want to get rid of Tua and get Tomlin.
No, but what if you had to?
You got to give up a pick for Mike Tomlin, let's just say. Yeah. You got to give up a pick for Mike Tomlin because that's what the Steelers want.
What if you just say to Tomlin, you know, because he can go wherever he wants. I mean, you'd still have to give compensation to Pittsburgh, but he goes wherever he wants. And you say to him, hey, we're punting on next season, but we want to get you in-house. Tua will be your guy. Bridge quarterback. He's like, yeah, I'm down with that. Like, we'll figure it out for the following seasons. I'd be down with that.
Yes. I will stomach another year of Tua to
I'd
get
be down
Tom.
With that.
Yeah.
By the way, since he's been gone, or I'm sorry, since Big Ben retired, here are the quarterbacks he dealt with. Kenny Pickett, Mitch Trubisky, Mason Rudolph. Last year, Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. And then this year, Abuelo Rodgers.
I mean, and he's never had a losing season.
But
he can coach his tail off now.
But, Hawk, to your point, 2017, they were the one seed. They lost in the divisional round to the Jacksonville Jaguars at home. They were the one seed.
Listen, there's a reason that a coach who's never had a losing season in 19 seasons is done at the organization. They're at the point, and again, this happens. It happened with Harbaugh. We had the conversation yesterday. Like, anybody looks at Harbaugh and goes, Why would I not want that coach? That's a great coach. And Baltimore's like, yeah, we're kind of good. We're done. And the same thing has happened in Pittsburgh. But he's a Hall of Fame coach.
It's the context of the losses, though.
Sure.
45-42, they lost in 2017 as the one seed to Jacksonville. I believe Blake Bortles was the quarterback of the Jags that year.
I think you're right.
In 2020, they lost to Cleveland at home. Baker Mayfield, they gave up 48 points to Baker Mayfield and the Browns. They gave up 42 points the following year on the road to Kansas City and Mahomes. They lost to Buffalo. They gave up 31 points. Last year, 28-14 in the wild card to Baltimore. And then this year, they lose to Houston. At home, they give up 30 points. So, Hawk, I've been saying, how could you possibly want to move on from somebody? I get it when I look at that. Because, oh my God, you're not just losing games. Half of these are at home. You're getting blown out.
You're losing postseason games that you should win
right.
yes.
on paper.
Yeah.
While other teams aren't making the postseason years after year after year.
Correct.
So the bar's been moved. Mike Tomlin set the bar on himself.
Sure, we have a completely different desire than Steelers fans do. We just want to get to the playoffs. We just want to win a playoff game.
Huh, I have Coach X that's going to get us to the playoffs every single year that he's ever here. Would you want him?
Of course.
But.
No. Solana, we're going to the playoffs every year. I promise you that.
But if I told you there's a franchise who has not won a playoff game in 25 years, the longest drought without winning a playoff game in the NFL, and they're now going to go hire a head coach with the longest playoff losing streak ever in the history of the league, you'd say, what are they doing? He's lost 7 consecutive playoff losses, which ties Marvin Lewis for the longest in postseason NFL history. Like, just take the context out of it and look at it that way. You're like, wait, you want to end your 25-year playoff drought and you're hiring that guy who has that currently baggage? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
With a ring and 19 appearances
and stability and the kind
culture,
of attitude and culture you're
identity,
looking for.
Like I said, I would take Tomlin over Harbaugh.
It's a known commodity. I would probably take Harbaugh, but a known commodity like Tomlin over a coordinator, which is an unknown commodity, but you're hoping is the next great thing, I'd go with the known commodity at this point because they don't get the unknown commodities correct.
What's the two names? Chris Shula, and Kubiak.
Yeah.
And Stefanski is another guy.
Robert Saleh. And Jeff Hafley, who's the Green Bay defensive coordinator, who apparently is interviewing for the job tomorrow, according to Albert Breer.
The in-house guy? He's in-house?
Well, he was the DC for Green Bay. He obviously has ties to JES.
Jess. All right, anything else? Because Joe Zagacki is going to join us.
Your weather in South Florida right now, still rainy. It's kind of eased up a little bit in the El Portal area, but still very cloudy. That's your weather.
Friday morning in the 40s in South Florida,
low
where
40s.
We are. Low 40s, possible that wind chill and feels like temps are in the 30s. It is going to be frigid in Florida, period. End of story. North Florida, 20s. Central Florida, the 30s. South Florida, the 40s. And maybe dipping into the 30s wind chill. So be ready Friday morning. I don't know if that lasts into Monday night for the national championship game.
It's supposed to be in the 60s as of right now. The forecasts are in the 60s.
That would be a pleasure.
The sailfish are going to be banging.
Oh, we're going to do the show at the
Friday morning
at the convention center, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Oh, I can't go out in this weather. You guys are going to have to handle that without me. I mean, in the 40s, I can't go out in that.
Yeah,
I'm kind of serious.
I don't have that
in me. All right, Joe Zagacki is going to join us in the next segment from South Bend, where the Canes take on Notre Dame tonight in some hoops.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
I like to officially go on record. I am wearing underwear today.
Joe Zagacki is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline, and I remind you, before we talk Canes, best place to get geared up with Canes merch, Caneswear in Davie, or online at caneswear.com. So, Joe, longtime voice of the Miami Hurricanes, you're in South Bend. Canes basketball tonight. Notre Dame, you can hear it, by the way, on 560 AM. Heat on 104.3 FM, and Canes on 560 AM. How's the weather in South Bend?
Very cold. I'm sitting on the bus right now. We're going to leave in a couple of minutes for the arena. Temperatures in the 30s, and they have a massive snowstorm on the way. So hopefully we get this game done by 9 and get out of South Bend and get home.
Yeah, you got to get home. You got a national championship game to call on Monday night. So that's
I got another road trip, though, before that.
You do?
Where
are you going?
On the weekend.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, don't get caught there. Listen, you better be here for Monday night. I mean, that's the most important game.
I love basketball, too. We got to focus on Monday, don't we?
We do, but you got a job to do. So right now it's one at a time, focusing on Notre Dame. However, I'm deeply dialed into Indiana, so I feel pretty good with where I'm at right now.
Fair enough. Before we go on, I should mention, and we have mentioned it today, the University of Miami announced today the passing of Bill Courtney, who was an assistant coach for 6 seasons and was the interim coach last season when Jim Larrañaga stepped down. And Joe, good guy from all accounts. May he rest in peace. You knew him, obviously, a lot better than us.
Yeah, terrible news, Hawk. BC, one of the most positive individuals you could ever be around. Did the post-game show with him, for 3 or 4 years. I can still remember when Miami defeated Texas in the Elite Eight, him coming over for the post-game show with his hands held high, the biggest, most radiant smile. And, you know, this is a very tough deal. His son, Billy Jr., is a graduate assistant on this staff. Billy is a graduate of Notre Dame. I was with him last night, just, I think, moments before he got the news of his father's passing. He's here. He was here. Billy Jr. gave up a job, an accounting job, to become a graduate assistant, go back to school to get his master's degree, to be, you know, to be close to his dad. And, of course, this happened. So really tragic news, 55 years old. And BC, may rest in peace. What a great, great human being.
Yeah, it's very sad. We keep him in our thoughts today, and as we move forward to Monday night with the national championship game, can you put into words, Joe, what this trip to the college football national championship means to the program and to Mario Cristobal?
Yeah, it's really, I'm trying to, you know, zero in on that perspective, and it just means, you know, It's going to be redemption. It's a sigh of relief that Miami is finally back on the big stage. And if they win it, it's just going to be unbridled joy, I think, for every Hurricane fan. And, of course, for Mario Cristobal, who's, quite frankly, I think, changed the narrative on him at this point. If he hasn't, then people are never going to change. But to get this far has been joyous, and to win it would just be, for this fan base, it would be an incredible cap to what's been a wild adventure ride here in the last 4 weeks.
And talking about, I guess, Mario's, you know, legacy and Carson Beck. Joe, in 15 years, when we're sitting here on the Hawkman Crowder and Solana show talking about another championship appearance, are we bringing up Carson Beck in a conversation with the Ken Dorseys and the Gino Torettas? And, like, is he to that level yet with his legacy, even not even seeing what happens in the national championship?
Well, if he wins it, he will be. You know, I think, you know, that's the final piece. He's got to win it. But he got Miami to the national championship. It's hard. A lot of people are critical of him. It's hard to not look at his record and go 37-5. He's winning these games. He won, you know, he won the A&M game by being a game manager and getting Miami to the right play. He didn't turn the ball over. He won the Ohio State game, made the plays when he needed to make them. He ran. He needed to run. He did run. Now, last week, the game's on his shoulders twice, right? Miami's behind twice, and he rallies them, takes them down the field, and puts them in the end zone. One, a touchdown pass to Malachi Toney. The other, what was that, a 15-play drive. I think he completed five or six passes on that drive. Every single one of them was a big pass, and then capped it off by running it in. He's going to be mentioned if he wins it, I think, with the other great quarterbacks. If he doesn't win it, probably is going to be a tier behind that, simply because he's been here for 1 year.
Joe,
he got them back. He got them back within striking distance of being on top of the mountain. So let's see what happens on Monday night.
Joe, how do you see the game playing out? Because I think it would be better for the Miami Hurricanes if it was low scoring, similar to kind of how we saw them play against Ohio State. I've read all the statistics about how the Canes' offensive line outweighs the defensive line of Indiana by however many pounds it is, 50 pounds or whatever. Is that – it's just as simple as the Canes have to play their game, right?
Yeah, they got to get to their identity, which isn't too far away from Indiana's identity. The way I see it playing out, I feel good about Miami's chances. By the way, I want everybody to continue to say that Indiana is great, that Indiana is crushing everybody, which they have, that they're the greatest team to come along since LSU. Keep it going, keep it going. That being said, if Miami can play their game and a clean game, they can't have these false start penalties and some of the silly penalties that they have that stall drives and beat Indiana. But it's going to be a game of physicality. It's going to be a game of running the football, stopping the run, and we'll come down to Beck and Mendoza, which one. Both those guys are in charge of the ball, so who makes the bigger plays or who makes the mistake? And I think Miami's got to be able to get into Mendoza's face and really be physical with him. One of the things I noticed about him, Channing, maybe you can back me up on this, he's a very good runner. But when he runs, he's a very big target. He's a big guy that runs straight up. And maybe he's been hit hard before, but I promise you, he's going to get hit harder Monday night than he's been hit all season long. And I think that's going to be a bit of a factor. And I look at what Miami's achieved in the playoffs so far. Everybody said the guy for Texas A&M, their defensive end, Howell, was the best pass rusher in the country, was going to crush Beck. I never called his name. Everybody said, okay, Jeremiah Smith is the great receiver, but it's Carnell Tate on the other side you got to worry about. Well, he had a couple of catches in the game, never really hurt Miami. Then they said, oh, the guy Wallace for Ole Miss had 180 yards against Georgia. Well, he was under 100 yards against the University of Miami. They've done a great job. Ohio State, Curran, their big pass rusher. He never touched Beck. McDonald, their run stopper. I think the last time I looked, what, Miami ran for 150 yards on Ohio State. So they've risen to every single challenge that they have faced so far in this playoff. And I think they're going to be ready for it on Monday night.
Yeah, Joe, Mendoza ain't doing too much running. He's seen that film. He's going to throw that ball out of bounds because he doesn't want those everybody from Miami's banging. I'm with you, too. He doesn't lower his pads, but he's very smart when he decides to run. But, Joe, you bring it up and you talk about the penalties and the mental stuff. Like, analytically, you can just look at the rosters. Miami is bigger. Miami is faster. I would assume they're bigger, they're stronger. They're bigger, stronger, and faster, but everybody has Indiana winning. Is it the collective over the individuals? Because I believe that Miami's roster is better than Indiana's roster, but they're still over a touchdown dogs.
Yeah, well, Cignetti will tell you it's production over potential. But I look at that roster, and you know, there are guys on that roster. So either, you know, he brought in James Madison, and then he's got some guys from other, you know, Western Kentucky, Kent State. So that's what the Power Six or whatever they call it, right? The group of six teams, guys that have gone up. And I look at that and I say, did everybody miss on these guys? What's the secret sauce for Cignetti? And I think it is he's brought guys in that have been productive, that were overlooked. But I think, you know, if you were to line them up for the NFL scouts, they would say they're flawed. Maybe they're a little bit shorter. Maybe they're not as big. Maybe they're not as fast. I think the where he gets an advantage is he built a roster of guys that are really older, 22, 23, 24 years old, that know his system, and therefore they play more clean games or they execute at a very high level. I think so. Miami's going to have to deal with their execution. But when it comes man-to-man, talent-wise, I think that arrow points toward Miami, even though nobody wants to admit it.
Joe sounds cocky, man. I love it. I love it.
It's facts.
I love it.
I'm just being honest with you.
I love
it. I'll eat my words. You know, their execution. Look, Miami, if you go back and look at Texas A&M, they should have won that game by 20 points. If you look at Ole Miss, should have won that game by two touchdowns or more. Probably could have handled Ohio State a little bit better. The Ole Miss game, I said to Don, you know, somewhere in the fourth quarter, I said, this is the equivalent of loading the bases for seven straight innings in baseball and not scoring. At one point, it's 42 plays to seven, and they had a four-point lead. That's crazy. It's absurd. And that is simply because they're getting their own way. If they get in their own way on Monday, yeah, then Indiana will smoke them. But if they don't, and they play a clean game and get to their identity and get to the quarterback or stop the run, that would be probably the number one thing. Both teams are going to want to stop the early down runs. They stopped early down runs. I think they'll have a chance. If you look at the Indiana-Penn State game, now you got to have luck along the way. Malachi Toney against Ohio State, the ball bounced up to him. Indiana is facing a second down in long with 30, 40 seconds to go. Mendoza's under heavy pressure. The ball's deflected. It's going to be intercepted. Penn State's going to win the game. Linebacker falls down. He slips. The ball's going to be right in his hands. He falls down. The next play, they throw the touchdown, which was a miraculous catch. Hell of a throw and a miraculous catch. So sometimes the ball bounces your way. But Miami's been great against the run all year. And I think they're going to be able to hold up against this offensive line. I'd be surprised if they're not able to hold up against the Indiana offensive line.
Joe Zagacki, you can hear him tonight on AM 560, Canes Notre Dame in Hoops, and you will hear him Monday night on this radio station, National Championship Game. Almost impossible to believe I'm saying it. Canes and Indiana, and it will begin at 3 p.m. Monday, 3 p.m. the pregame, and 7:30 game start, which will be really closer to like 7:45 or 7:50. Joe, I need two tickets, all right?
Yeah, I got you on the list, Hawk.
All right, perfect. But I need comps, though. I need comps. I'm not paying anything.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. You're really on my list now.
All right.
Yeah.
See you, Joe.
So Lana asked me, by the way, he asked me a couple weeks ago if I was nervous before what game was that? The Ohio State game.
Ohio State game. Mm-hmm.
I might be a little nervous on Monday.
Yeah, I would imagine be a little tightly wound when you wake up on Monday. All right, we'll see you, Joe.
All right, fellas, thank you.
There you go, Joe Zagacki, live from South Bend, Indiana.
You're listening to the Hawk, Crowder, and Solana Show.
No time left! Miami wins! We're going to the national championship!